Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14. Verse number 10. Ata kshama sva chutame raja bhuvo. Yajana das tat pitak ishamaninaha. Ajavale panda tamata chakshisha. Esho no campio mai natavan iti. Ataha. Therefore, shamasva, please excuse. Achyuta, O infallible Lord. Me, Rajabhubha, who have taken birth in the mode of passion. He, indeed, ajanata, being ignorant, twat, from you, pritak, separate, isha, a controller, maninaha, presuming myself, aja, the unborn creator, avalepa, the covering, Andhatamaha, by such darkness of ignorance. Andha, blinded. Chakshushaha, my eyes. Ishaha, this person. Anukampyaha, should be shown mercy. Mayi, me. Natavan, having as his master. Iti, thus thinking. Translation. Therefore, O infallible Lord, kindly excuse my offenses. I have taken birth in the mode of passion, and am therefore simply foolish, presuming myself a controller independent of your lordship. My eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think of myself as the unborn creator of the universe. But please consider that I am your servant, and therefore worthy of your compassion. Purport. In his commentary, Śrīla Viṣṇu Chakravarti Thakur explains that Brahmā wanted to present the following argument to the Lord. My dear Lord, because I have acted so badly, I certainly deserve to be punished. On the other hand, because I am so ignorant, you should consider me an innocent fool and be merciful to me. Thus, although I deserve both punishment and forgiveness, I humbly beg you to exercise tolerance in this matter and simply forgive me and show me your mercy. The words Natavan Iti indicate that Lord Brahma wanted to humbly remind Lord Krishna that he was, after all, Brahma's father and master, and should therefore forgive the unfortunate transgressions of his humble servant. Every conditioned soul, whether he be Lord Brahma or an insignificant ant, falsely identifies himself with the material world, and in this way forgets his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma, because of his prestigious position as the cosmic creator, also tends to identify himself as the Lord of this world, and thus he sometimes forgets his position as an insignificant servant of the Supreme Lord. Now, by Lord Krishna's mercy, this false identification is being rectified, and Lord Brahma is remembering his constitutional position as eternal servant of God. Jai. Mukam karoti vachalam bhagam lankate girin yakipantam hamvande shi Kuron dinatarinam. Om agyana timirandasya gyananjara shirakaya chakshur minitam yena tasmai shi parave namaha. So, Brahma, in these verses between 9 to 13, he's giving so many reasons why the Lord Krishna should forgive him. Verse 9, he says, who am I compared to you? I'm just like a small spark in the presence of a great fire. So, Sridhar Swami says, in order to beg forgiveness, Brahma declares his own offense. So he told me in verse 9, yes, I made an offense. I disturbed your activities, but you should forgive me. Now, in this one, he's giving so many reasons. I'm an ignorant fool. I'm in the mode of passion. My eyes are blind. I mean, if we make a mistake and we tell someone, well, I did it because I'm in the mode of passion, are they going to accept that? I don't know. But Brahma is really in the mode of passion because he's born in the mode of passion. He's in charge of the mode of passion. So yeah, he could tend to be passionate. Another reason in this verse, you should forgive me because you're my father and you're my master. So yes, in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada says, I'm in the mode of passion, Brahma says. So I'm bound to commit mistakes. And he called Krishna achyuta because the Lord is never forgetful of a little service rendered by his devotee. So in his prayer, he's reminding the Lord, yes, I did some service for you. Please remember my service I did. Don't be too harsh on me. And so Prabhupada says, he is so kind and affectionate toward his devotees. A little service for them is accepted by him as a great deal. Mm. Brahma has certainly rendered much service to the Lord. As a Supreme Personality in charge of this universe, he is without a doubt a faithful servant of Krishna. Therefore, he could appease Krishna. He asked the Lord understand him as a subordinate servant whose little mistake and impudence might be excused. He admitted he was puffed up by his powerful position as Lord Brahma. Because he's the qualitative incarnation of motive passion within this material world, this was natural for him, and therefore he committed the mistake. But Lord Brahma hoped, since he was, after all, Lord Krishna's subordinate, the Lord would kindly take compassion upon him and excuse him. And Vishwanath Chakravarti says that Lord Brahma then identifies his low qualities with great pride. I think I'm your son, coming from your navel, but I'm blind in all eight eyes. So this verse says, I'm blinded. We get blinded when we get in the mode of passion. Sometimes we get angry and we forget who we are. We forget who the other person is. Yes. He says, but my pride will be destroyed when the moon of your mercy shines upon me. So how will forgiveness manifest? Krishna considers, this Brahma is worthy of my mercy because though he shows himself as master elsewhere towards me, he is a servant. Sridhar Swami says, well, the Lord may object, you know, the whole universe is your body and you are the controller. So then verse 11 comes in. And Vishwanath Chakravarti also says the same thing. Yes, the Lord may object. You are known as the creator and you are not falsely presuming to be a controller. So tell me, what is my opulence? So then Brahma speaks to verse 11. I'm just a small creature. And compared to you, all the universes are coming out the pores of your body. So who am I compared to you? And then verse 12, does a mother take offense when the child in her womb kicks with his legs? So yes, sometimes you feel the baby kicking a little bit and you feel happy. So the Lord should feel happy if Brahma kicked a little bit. Because he's inside the womb. Everybody, when Yashoda opened her mouth, some of the commentators say that she saw the universe coming from his belly, actually. So yes, so we are all in the womb of the Lord. So he's our mother too. He's mother and he's our father as well. So we're all there. So verse 13, Brahma has an intimate relationship with the Lord because of the activities of creation. So he uses the prefix V in the word Vinirgata to beg the Lord's special mercy. So he keeps begging verse after verse. Ramasaja, born from the navel of the Lord, and he's also his mother because he didn't need Lakshmi to give birth. Now, in Nectar of Devotion, it is explained how should we pray. And Brahma is an example here. There's three types of prayers which are described in Nectar of Devotion. Now, Skanda Purana says, there's a statement about submission to the lotus feet of the Lord. It is said, those who are sober devotees can offer their submission to Krishna in three ways. So the first way is samprarthanatmika, very feelingly offering prayers. And the second one, dainyabodhika, humbly submitting oneself. So these verses 9 to 13, Brahma is humbly submitting himself, very humbly. And the third one, lala samayi, desiring some perfectional stage. And later on in these prayers, Lord Brahma will desire to be a stone in the pathway in Goloka Vrindavan. So that will come later. But right in the beginning, he's very humbly submitting himself. So dainyabodhika, there is a quote in Nectar of Devotion, where, again from Skanda Purana, where it says, my dear Lord, there is no sinful living entity more of a sinner than me, nor is there a greater offender than myself. I'm so greatly sinful and offensive. When I come to confess my sinful activities before you, I am ashamed. So isn't that interesting? Nectar Devotion talks about devotees confessing in front of the Lord. And that's a very powerful thing. You can go to the deities, to Krishna, and confess and beg for forgiveness, like Brahma is begging. Because we have done some sinful activities, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So Nectar Devotion says, as far as the conditioned soul is concerned, there is no wonder he has some sinful activities in his past life. This should be admitted and confessed before the Lord. As soon as this is done, the Lord excuses the sincere devotee, but you should not commit sins again. Don't take advantage of the Lord's mercy. So Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, here it is said, when I come to confess my sinful activities, I become ashamed. So if a person is not ashamed of his sinful activities and continues to commit the same sinful activities with the knowledge that the Lord will excuse him, that is a most nonsensical proposition, Prabhupada says. And some people do that. They go for confession, and then they confess all the sins they did in that week, and then they confess, and then they go back and do other sins again and confess again. No, not like that. Like an elephant taking bath. Water and then dirt. No, we should not sin again. So Prabhupada says, it is a fact, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes washed clean of all sinful activities from his past life. But that does not mean that after being washed off, one should again begin sinful activities and expect to be washed again. These are nonsensical propositions. So twice he said that, nonsensical proposition, and are not admitted in devotional service. So one item of devotional service is to reveal one's mind to the deities. So this is the way you can do it. You can go and confess your sins and beg forgiveness, but don't do it again. That's the point. And you will be forgiven, and you will feel a load go off your heart and off your mind. So we have heard why Krishna should forgive Brahma. Now, this part of the class, I'm going to talk about why we should forgive others. Because we need to practice forgiveness too. Definition of forgiveness in Nectar Devotion defines a forgiving person, one who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from the opposite party, just like Krishna tolerated from Shishupala so many offenses. Haridas tolerated the offenses when he was being beaten. Now, the dictionary meaning of forgiveness is to give up resentment against, to give up desire to punish, stop being angry with, pardon, and overlook. So Prabhupada defines, so resentment, here it says about resentment, give up resentment. Prabhupada defines resentment as anger. And anger is in the mode of ignorance. So when we don't forgive, actually we're only punishing ourselves. It is said envy is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. But you're the one that's drinking the poison of envy. It's poisoning you, it's poisoning your heart, it's poisoning your body. So unless you forgive, then you will be in bondage of resentment. And it can cause you, it's not only mental, it starts from mental and then it goes to gross. You can be sick if you keep it inside all the time. One time Prabhupada was being criticized by one man and devotees were so angry, but Prabhupada stopped the devotees, and after the man left, Prabhupada said, I must have offended this man in my previous life and therefore now he's criticizing me. And he called the man back and he gave him blessings. So that was Prabhupada. Sometimes he was very heavy though. He wouldn't tolerate Mayavadis. He wouldn't tolerate cheaters. If somebody was saying something and acting a different way. But for his personal self, he was very tolerant. And he said, actually, I'm getting what I deserve. So when in the early days, very early, he had one man in Delhi who was getting his mail for him when he was away. And when he came back to get his mail, he found out that the man was stealing money from his letters. And so Prabhupada said, so what should we do with this man? He asked the devotees. And the devotees were saying, we should arrest him. Prabhupada said, no, there's only one thing to do, forgive. And so that was Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes devotees would steal money and they would come back and Prabhupada said, no, money is, it's more important that he does devotional service. Let him stay here and give him another chance. And so in the Bhagavad Gita purport, Prabhupada says that forgiveness should be practiced. One should be tolerant and excuse the minor offenses of others. So we need to practice. This is something we can practice. It's not easy. The problem is too often we want mercy for ourselves and justice for others. And so very difficult to forgive. So another devotee, he stole some money and he came back. And then he really made a big mistake. He was out in Juhu Beach and he was learning from a yogi how to pass a coin from one ear to the other. So Tamal told Prabhupada, no, it's finished. He's finished now. No, look what he's doing. He's out on the beach trying to learn how to pass a coin from one ear to the other. Prabhupada said, no, no, why? We must bring him back. And he said, so Tamal said, why? And Prabhupada said, you do not know the mercy of Nityananda. It is unlimited. Oh, Prabhupada was the representative of Nityananda. So in fourth canto, it is said, one who is devoted and highly advanced in intelligence does not take action against the soul or the body. If there is any discrepancy, he forgives. It's the quality of those advancing in spiritual knowledge. Again, a sadhu is never angry. The real feature of devotees who undergo tapasya, austerity, is forgiveness. But in the 11th canto, it says sometimes these tapasvis, the jnanis, they do very great austerities and yogis, but then they drown in small puddles of anger. Then their austerity, when you get angry, then your austerities are finished, for the yogis anyway. So Jamadagni was preaching to Parashuram. The duty of a Brahmin is to cultivate the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. Supreme Lord Hari is pleased with those who are forgiving. So then the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras all have one special quality. They become beautiful by this quality. The Brahmanas are forgiving. They're beautiful when they're forgiving. The Kshatriyas, when they're heroic. They don't forgive. They never retreat from fighting. The Vaishyas, when they enrich cultural activities and protect the cows, and the Shudras, when they're faithful and discharge duties pleasing to their masters. So everyone becomes beautiful by special qualities. So one time, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, in the beginning when he first joined, he said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, there are prejudices in your ISKCON. And so Prabhupada said to him, if you are disturbed, then what is the difference between you and them? Means if you think you're this body. And so perseverance. In the Mahabharata, it is said that if somebody is angry at you and you tolerate, you get all his good qualities and he gets all your bad qualities. And so these are good reasons why we should tolerate. And the relationship between humility and forgiveness from Jivadharma, it says, the tenderness of heart experienced towards Krishna is bhakti. All other jivas are servants of Krishna, and tenderness of heart towards them is compassion, daya. So compassion is included in bhakti. Forgiveness, shama, is the bhava situated between humility and compassion. I am so wretched and insignificant myself. How can I inflict punishment upon others? Yes, we judge people too much. We judge people. And look what happened when Daksha judged Lord Shiva. He lost everything. He thought Lord Shiva is just whatever he thought. We don't want to repeat it. But and he lost his life because of that. So we have to cultivate forgiveness, humility, and we have to avoid offending devotees. There's four things that can help you, four principles to overcome sadhu ninda. First of all, you should cultivate the finding good attitude. You find the good in the devotee. The bees look for nectar. The flies look for the stool. So be a bee, don't be a fly. And second one, no one is an eternal rogue. Before passing judgment, remember that every saint had a past and every sinner has a future. And third, try to see Krishna everywhere, Krishna's hand behind everything that's happening to you. And four, you need to change your attitude from bad to good, negative to positive. And then you will live very happily in this life. So there are some very positive affirmations that you can say or you can remember, that I'm grateful to Krishna for arranging this situation for me. I embrace difficulties I need for my growth and purification. I feel happy and peaceful practicing forgiveness. I positively respond to the events in my life. Yes, how you respond. I let go of the records how I was wronged, and I set myself free by choosing to forgive. So you're very fortunate if someone offends you, because it gives you opportunity to make spiritual advancement. Okay, let's see. Here's a test from Krishna. Do I see Krishna here? How do I respond? You can test yourself. If you think you have forgiven someone, well, here's a test. You can test yourself. If you're not forgiving, you hope something bad will happen to the person who hurt you. And so if this is in your mind, you're not forgiving. So what you should do, you should pray for the person and bless them in the same way you would like to be blessed. Or you may think, well, I hope something will happen to them, good or bad, and make them aware how they offended me. No, you have to allow Krishna to deal with them from within their hearts, the way he chooses. Or you may think, I hope they're going to apologize to me soon. I'm just waiting. You're going to wait a long time. But anyway, you have to take responsibility for your own forgiveness. Or you may keep a record of how I was offended, and you may tell everybody, oh, this devotee did this, this devotee did that. So you have to tear up this record of how you feel you are offended. Or you may, you may talk to other people, and or you may try to threaten that person, but you should tell them, no, no, you have nothing to fear. Or you want to punish them by making them feel guilty. Ooh, you did this to me. No, tell them, no, Krishna must have done this for a reason. Another problem is we don't forgive ourselves. But we should meditate, how? Krishna's forgiving me, Prabhupada's forgiving me, Radharani's forgiving me, Lord Chaitanya's forgiving me. And you can go and confess also, that'll help. Or sometimes you forgive someone and then you get angry again, resentment. No, you have to forgive totally. It's not just one time you forgive someone, but you have to continually forgive them. Or you never think of their welfare, or something good happens, then you feel bad. No, you should feel happy. This is the Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha attitude is everyone is happy when something devotee is well situated, another devotee. So I would like to end the class with a prayer by Devakinandan Das Thakur, where he praises the devotees. He says, I offer my worship to the lotus feet of the residents of Vrindavan, all of whom are Vaishnavas. Next, I fall to the ground and worship the lotus feet of all of Mahaprabhu's associates who live in Nilachal Jagannath Puri. Then I worship devotees of Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, Mayapur. And I worship the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu's devotees living in Bengal, Godadesh. And I worship lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's devotees, who, wherever they may reside, anywhere in the world. And then I worship lotus feet of all the servants of Mahaprabhu that ever were in the past or ever will be in the future. So he's worshiping devotees past and present and future. Everything's covered. He's very thorough in his prayer. In the Vedas and Puranas, it is said, each of the dear devotees of Lord Chaitanya has the power to deliver the entire universe. So the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are deliverers of the most degraded persons. Being greedy for that deliverance, I surrender to them. What power do I have to glorify the devotees of Lord Chaitanya? Being engrossed in ignorance, it is out of pride that I attempt to do so. So, yes, this is Devakinandan Das Thakur's prayer. So we should also pray to serve the devotees, and we should practice forgiveness, and we should feel like we will be advancing in spiritual life by doing this. We can also go and confess to the deities. Or if you have some dear friend, you can also confess. Okay, so I'm going to stop here if there's any questions or comments at this point. Of course, Panchagoda, yeah, what's his question?
Close proximity, people get angry at one another and fight. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it may be difficult to, forgive because you feel, you're always in that proximity, the closeness of being together in the family. Not everyone's opinion is accepted, yeah. Helpful opinion. So, is there a point where you can avoid for some time and then forgive, or you should
avoid and then forgive. This is family life.
This family. Any family, family also, we have small close quarters and not everybody's with the same
I see what you mean.
Mentality.
Even so the temple family.
Tolerating one another, is that called forgiveness as well? Tolerance?
Well, that's the beginning. Tolerance is the beginning of forgiveness. First you tolerate, and later on you start to appreciate the good qualities. But I do have some advice from the Grihastha Vision team for this. And this will apply to for all relationships. So here they say, for a relationship to work, at least one person has to be humble. So there you go. Otherwise, if two or if there's two and they're not humble, it's not going to work. So one person.
Well, thanks, he's humble, not
right. Yeah. So humility is required. And it's there in advanced devotees. Queen Kunti was very humble. She said, I'm just a woman. How can I understand the spiritual knowledge? You're teaching the great transcendentalists, the yogis. But actually, Krishna came for devotees like Kunti. And that's why the yogis would go to Kunti's house and visit her, because Krishna was there. They were in the forest meditating on the lotus feet. But then, you know, then why not go and see the lotus feet there in Kunti's house? So, humility is very beneficial. In fact, it's the way to chant the holy name. It's the level of nishtha. It's the level of nishtha. Chanadapi sunichina taroyavasihishina. And if you can be humble, then you can chant 24 hours a day. So humility is very, very beneficial. For us, we should try to practice also humility, forgiveness. Maharaj.
What can you do if that you try to convince a person to forgive? You try everything, and still the person says, no, this is not, I'm not going to forgive.
Forgive you? Are you saying?
Not me, but another person.
Oh, okay.
I try to convince that person to forgive the other person, and it doesn't work.
I see. Yeah. The person who won't forgive, he should beg forgiveness also, because he can't forgive. He also needs to beg forgiveness. So maybe you can convince him about that.
Yeah. Then that's it. Like, it won't stop here. Okay. No more.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
you can pray. I mean, yeah, sometimes on the gross we can't do anything, but on the subtle we can. We can pray for that person. And the one who is not being forgiven can pray for that person. He can follow all these things. He can follow, you know, send good wishes, even do some service. I think it is said in Harinam Chintamani that if a devotee won't offend you, you should try to do some service for that devotee. Yes, Prithu Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So, maybe there's something to teach us right at the end. And so we understand that we will forgive. But there are really two types of forgiveness. One is, yes, out of moral reasons or whatever.
Yeah.
We forgive somebody, but there's another thing to forgive. If you forgive your knowledge, and that is that we have to understand this person.
Can you repeat that? I couldn't hear.
If somebody hurts us, we can't say, okay, I'm going to forgive you. It's our sentimental performance.
Right, right.
Yes, forgiveness in knowledge. That you understand that actually he is just an instrument.
Exactly.
Of my own karma.
Oh, he's an instrument of my own karma. Okay.
So that forgiveness in knowledge is more solid.
That's right.
Because it's only
Exactly. Yeah. We have to take responsibility.
If we take responsibility for our suffering,
Yeah.
What is sentimentally is that the friends can hold on and
right. Right.
But it doesn't last very long. I thought I give it tomorrow.
Yes.
So back and forth, how many of us have to feel that we go back and forth and back and forth? Because it's not in knowledge.
Yeah, Prabhupada is an example. The example I gave of Prabhupada is forgiveness and knowledge. Prabhupada said, that man, I must have offended that man in my previous life.
Yeah.
So that's an example of forgiveness and knowledge. Yes, this is...
As an example, Prabhupada also, you know why there was one devotee famous called Peter
Bhuvash. Oh yeah, I know him,
and
yeah.
So Prabhupada is dead at Peter Bhuvash's house, and then later, Peter Bhuvash came to Prabhupada and said, you see, one of your disciples who stayed with me, he took my money. I'm so angry, what should I do? Prabhupada said, don't be angry. He's just the instrument of your karma. You must have done exactly the same to somebody else. So that's his knowledge.
Yeah, and sometimes we get blamed for something we didn't do. But in a previous life, we might have got away. Okay, this Maharaj first, and then second Maharaj will come. Yes?
I heard in the class where it says in the Bhagavatam, there's a statement whereby a person who is giving you a hard time, he is your friend because he's making your karma lighter.
Oh, he's making your karma lighter. Okay, so everybody can be happy if someone gives you a hard time. Thank you, Maharaj. Okay, the other Maharaj. Yes, 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 good.
If somebody cannot forgive, it's because they have a lack of shelter from the spiritual mind.
Okay.
If you cannot forgive, and you yourself are not being sheltered. So that person who cannot forgive has to have a sense of submission.
Yes, yes.
To some spiritual guide or authority. Not necessarily a fiction group, that may be somebody wrong. You know, within the community of devotees. So when one has that, then one will be submissive to some guidance, sense of authority.
Yes.
Basically, it's a lack.
A lack of shelter.
Although we may be initiated in years and more, but it's just a lack of shelter.
Lack of shelter, okay.
Then, Pachigori Prabhu very nicely asked him about, being angry with the family relationship.
Yes, yes.
When one is very close to somebody, you don't have to beg forgiveness because anger is a manifestation of affection and love.
Okay.
When one is very close.
When one is very close.
Yeah. If when one is close, then there's no question of offenses because the relationship will not be happening. That will get deeper than the relationship.
Right.
Because if one is very close, the inside of the person and outside is the same. You don't
protect
you, you don't hide
how you feel. Right, that's true.
So when you don't hide how you feel and you're angry, then the other person is close to you and it will not happen in the relationship. It will deepen.
Okay, it will deepen the relationship.
So then Srila Prabhupada gave an example, actually the science of civilization. Srila Prabhupada said, if a friend slaps your face, there's no question of offense.
Okay.
In other words, it's very close.
Right.
It enhances the relationship. I just thought this is my 2 cents worth.
Thank you. Everybody's giving there. Oh, we got more cents over here. Preetu? Prabhu?
So one disciple asked him, when he snapped my fingers, it's not like that.
Yeah.
If that happens, he's still your friend and he's asking.
Okay. Okay, give to Preetu Prabhu, and then next we'll do this Prabhu.
I talked about forgiveness in knowledge, but there's the other forgiveness in the ignorance of the philosophy. And that's very hard. But I give you a great example, of course, Drupadi.
Speak.
The example of Drupadi, that yeah. she forgave Ashwatthama. Right. Another really great example in my own life is that my father was in a concentration camp.
Oh.
He was tortured. And my mother would visit him, because we are not for racial reasons, we are in, my father was in resistance. And so one day, my mother came and said, there, this man, this tall man, he puts me on the bed every night and tortures me. So my mother took a photo. You can't help but take a photo in your mind.
Oh, right.
And so it so happened that my father died, he was a tortured man, he never recovered really, physically or even psychologically, with the trauma. When he died, in Europe, the situation is that the undertaker comes. The undertaker comes when somebody takes. And so the undertaker came to wash the body of my father. And my mother didn't know. So she went into the bathroom and he was shocked to see my father in the hands of the person who tortured him in the concentration camp. It was the same person. Now, our blood was burning. Dear boys, we wanted to murder him. I wanted to accept to death, my brother wanted to burn him to death. That's the nature of boys.
Yeah.
My mother said no. He has children. The children are innocent. Yes, why is he innocent? Why adding more suffering to what already has been done? He has to make this up. It's just like the Mahabharata. How?
Say again. Say again.
Shall I repeat, told me?
Yeah.
He asked me.
When the undertaker, that part.
As an example of my own experience, what women are able to do, men are not able to do.
Okay.
This is an example. My father was in a concentration camp. He was tortured every night by one particular aspect of body. So one time my mother would visit him and she, my father pointed out, you see this tall man there. This tall man. That's the man who tortures me. My mother took a photo in her mind. So he died later, surely he was tortured and traumatized physically because I heard him scream every night actually. And so in his trauma. And so when he died in Europe, they have him so then the undertaker comes to wash the body before the body is put into the coffin. So the undertaker came, my mother did not know that he was in the bathroom with the body of my father. She was out of town, she came. And she went into the bathroom, she saw, she screamed, and fell down unconscious actually.
Wow.
And so we ran upstairs and put her to bed, put water on her face, and then she came to us and she said, my God. And it came out. That undertaker was the same person who tortured my father in prison. And so the natural reaction was, your voice is, and you're the same, you want to kill him. Here he is right in our jurisdiction. And so I wanted to accept the death. My father and my brother wanted to burn the same. Don't accept. We burn him slowly. Burn him with the feet. And so then my mother said no. And this is the quality, that particular female sentiment is something we need sometimes at this point. That she said, oh no, nothing of this will happen. He said, his children, he has children, the children are innocent. He has a right to buy his person. Why adding more suffering to what already has been done? He has to make this later, like this.
Okay. And this Prabhu? And then when Mataji has a question. You still have time.
Yeah, not only forgiving, too easily can also erode self-respect. Because if you start forgiving too easily,
too easily.
You can also erode self-respect. Especially if you are dealing with devotees So we start forgiving, that says this person doesn't have a self-respect, you always need forgiving.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you balance that?
Well, if forgiving is for the Brahmins especially, and we're supposed to be, ISKCON is supposed to be a community of Brahmins, Vaishnavas are Brahmins, but when you're at work, then you're in a different situation. So you have to act like, just like Narada Muni, when he preached to, he had a snake disciple, and the snake disciple, when he became a devotee, then the children would throw stones, and he wouldn't. He would just tolerate. He complained to his guru, and Narada said, okay, pretend you're going to bite them, and then they won't throw stones. So you have to act where you are. Some things you can forgive, but you have to act in the proper position that you're at in the material world also. Minor offenses should be forgiven. But you know your job and what you have to do for that job. In the material world, you know, there's having a job, you have to do so many things which are not really according to Brahminical culture. So you have to figure it out and pray for intelligence for that. We have one last question in the back, way in the back there. No, you.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class. My question is related to forgiveness. I understood that in the class it was almost like the point was, I think established actually, that everything that bad happens to us is our own karma, so we should never be angry at the instruments of our own karma. I heard this 20 years ago and it really helped me. But my question is actually this then, that is there any room that somebody is actually being not so nice out of their own independence? Maybe they are just envious by nature, and therefore they are behaving with a certain other devotee in a certain way, which is rather offensive. Or is it karma? I mean, I wonder if my question is, if I make my question clear.
It's both. It's karma, and it's, you know, and it's part of their nature too. But another important point is that you should not stay in an abusive relationship. You should not tolerate abuse. So that you have to figure out what is abuse and what is just, okay, they're just like that, so I should just tolerate. Now this person didn't say Hare Krishna to me, just passed me by. She just passed me by and she didn't greet me, and she's supposed to be my friend, and you know, maybe she was having a hard day, who knows. But you should not tolerate abuse, and to find out what abuse is, then you can contact counselors and people like that. You can find out. They'll tell you where you draw the line.
Okay, that sounds
right. Yeah. Okay, so it's 9:00. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to the Prabhupada.